This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Earlier this week, we were talking about the decrease in ice and snow cover this year and how that's impacting our regular outdoor winter pastimes up north. That's on top of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has already made getting together difficult during winter tourism season, and not just at the slopes. Normally, if you were to travel to the Marquette area in February, you could catch a pretty unique annual event, the UP 200, a sled dog race. It's one of the Iditarod qualifiers, and it's about 230 miles in length, running from Marquette to Wetmore to Grand Marais and back in the Upper Peninsula. Now, usually the races run in mid-February at the same time as two shorter races called the Midnight Run and the Jack Pine 30. But how many times have we had to say this? Not this year. Here to talk with us about the races and the very tough decision to cancel them for 2021 is Darlene Walsh. She's the president of the Upper Peninsula Sled Dog Association. Darlene, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. April, I enjoy talking with you.
So for those who've never been there, can you give us an idea of what race week is usually like? I guess when it's not a pandemic year, what's the atmosphere in Marquette?
Very festive. It's a very large event. We estimate usually on Friday evening at the start of the Midnight Run and the Jack Pine 30, we would have approximately 5,000 spectators downtown. It's got a snow trail put on the main street downtown. It's called Washington Avenue. Washington Street has its track put down for about a half mile through town. All the businesses have their white lights from Christmas left over, so it looks very festive. And a lot of cheering, a lot of dogs, several teams. We usually start roughly 30 teams out of downtown Marquette on Friday night. So it's a very exciting time. And then we have people stretched all the way along the race route to cover road crossings and provide safety for the teams as they go by. So it is very exciting and quite festive.
I guess I was coming at this thinking about racers out in the woods, sort of remote from each other, but it sounds like there's quite a few moving parts. There are the mushers and the dogs, but also the vet crews, the volunteers, the local businesses, and of course the spectators. How many people are we talking about here getting together for race week?
Typically during race week, we will have approximately 900 volunteers who help us out. We also have vet crews, as you've already mentioned. We usually have about 20 to 25 people involved with the vet crews that include veterinarians, vet techs, and vet students who are learning this volunteering. We also have, like I said, about 30 mushers between the Midnight Run and the UP 200, and approximately another 15 to 18 in the Jack Pine 30. So each of those teams come from out of the area, bring their own crews with them, usually a driver and a handler or two. So we are talking thousands of people. We also have volunteers who make the trek to the UP every year from Wisconsin, the Chicago area, as well as downstate Michigan. Some of our volunteers have come here every year for the last 20, 25 years.
Wow.
This would have been the 32nd running of these races. So it was quite disappointing to have to make this step, but we felt we could not keep all of those competitors, all of the volunteers, all of our race officials, our veterinarians, and our spectators safe during this very odd year. One thing I would add is that about half of our volunteers are Northern Michigan University students. So we wanted to take that into consideration as well.
I'm sure that there was a lot of conversation about, you know, could it be done? And if so, how would we do it? What sort of extra safety precautions would it have taken to try to pull off the race with that volume of people?
The main things we talked about were having scaled back coverage at various road crossings, because you certainly don't want to have a large crowd of people there. The main challenge that we faced was not being able to have any spectators. We really were not sure in such a public venue as what we have in the Marquette area, how we would be able to monitor that. On the trail, our concerns were much less because, as you mentioned, mushers go out on their own. They are socially distanced. Even when they're on their dog teams, they're typically several feet apart if they can even see each other at all. So the teams on the trail were perhaps the least of our worries. It had to do more with our checkpoints because everybody has a starting point, but along the UP 200 and Midnight Run Trail, there are also mandatory checkpoints. That is where the teams do come together. They, again, could be socially distanced, but the vet crews, the timers, all the checkpoint volunteers, we would have trouble even with masks and all the other protocols we could put in place. We weren't sure that we could do a safe race and facilitate it with those restrictions.
Darlene, in addition to running the UP Sled Dog Association, you wear multiple hats like lots of folks in the UP. You're also the township supervisor for Sands Township in Marquette County. Are there ways that your responsibilities to the township inform the way you thought about the conditions for the race and just whether or not it could be done safely?
Yes, there were. As the township supervisor, I am also the COVID point person, which meant I was reading all of the governor's orders, all of the Michigan Health Department orders and restrictions, all the guidelines from the CDC. So it was something that I came to the UP Sled Dog Association board with that knowledge and also tracking pandemic trends, both statewide, regionally, and in the Marquette region. So when you start gathering all that kind of information, and then you're looking at, okay, how can we safely put together this kind of an event and adhere to the restrictions that are in place? The two things came together in an interesting way. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
We started having the discussions in the fall. We knew that we would make a decision no later than November because we wanted to let all of the people who travel to get here know with enough lead time to make their plans.
I can only imagine this is yet another blow economically to the region after a year of really very difficult economic conditions.
Yes, we did an economic survey last year with people coming up to the race. We asked them to fill out a form. We kind of laughed. At some points, we got a little bit insistent, would you please fill out this form? But enough people did. And we worked with the Lake Superior Community Partnership to analyze that data. It corroborated economic survey we had done in 2014-15, showing that the economic impact in the Marquette-Elgin region is just under $2 million each year. So we were very cognizant of that going into it. We also were concerned. We have a lot of sponsors. That's how we function. Donations and sponsorships are what fund these events. And we weren't sure how our sponsors were going to be able to manage contributions. Some would be able to. We were worried about small businesses, whether or not our funding would be in place and whether that was even reasonable to expect. So the economic impact is kind of the double-edged sword because we know it brings in income, but it also requires us to ask people for donations. And that gets difficult when you know people's businesses have been suffering.
Yeah.
So this year, what we're doing is we are celebrating our sponsors, acknowledging who they are, and we're forging ahead and planning for 2022.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking with the president of the Upper Peninsula Sled Dog Association, Darlene Walsh, about the cancellation of this year's annual UP 200 sled dog race. What kind of response were you hearing from contenders and folks who are usually spectators and community members about the cancellation?
For the most part, it's been very supportive. The good news is we hear people are disappointed. It would be a little bit disconcerting if we found out that they weren't disappointed. But overall, I think that the mushers that we've contacted, as well as the spectators and the volunteers, all understand, and they do recognize that their own safety and everyone else's safety is an important factor. So most of them have rolled with it fairly well. We are selling merchandise on our website that commemorates the year of no race. It's the only time we've had two race years on one t-shirt or sweatshirt, the different merchandise. We have a design that was made for 2021, so we stayed with it. And on the merchandise, we have 2021, and then we have the saying running on by to 2022. On by is a mushing term. When you want your dog team to move ahead and pass any type of distraction, you tell them to go on by. So we are running on by 2021, heading toward 2022. So we're laughing because this is the only year we will have two race years on one piece of merchandise.
Oh my gosh. You organize these races, Darlene, but I know you've also been a contender yourself. What does the cancellation mean in the course of people's training schedules?
It makes it difficult, which is partly why we wanted to make a decision early so that people knew how to train their teams. They knew what they were training for. You do start with your dog team over the summer and into the early fall, getting organized and laying out your training plans based on what races you intend to compete in. Sure, it's very disappointing for mushers this year because you have your team of dogs, you've been building these teams. Sometimes you run into a scenario where this may be the last year for a particular dog. So it's very disappointing. But you can also flip to saying, well, this is the recreational year, time to regroup, time to get our team all together. But it has been challenging. One of the things we took into account is many of our competitors and some of our judging crew are Canadian. Given the current situation, they would probably not be able to get here, or if they did, they wouldn't be able to get back home. So we pretty much knew early on that they would not be able to participate. So it has made it difficult for mushers this year, for sure.
There are so many organizations that have had to cancel events, whether they're athletic or just recreational or otherwise. Do you know of other races or winter tourism activities in the UP that have had to change their plans?
Oh, it seems that nearly most of them have. Most recently, the Nakaminon ski race. They had originally planned to socially distance everyone, start skiers in waves. They finally determined that it needed to go to an all virtual event. So they have come up with a mechanism for that. It just seems like one after another, ever since the fall, every event in the area seems to have had to make adjustments or out and out cancel, and most of them have canceled. The Munising Ice Festival would also be happening at this time, and they have had to cancel. You know, the bottom line is, even if you're outdoors, when you have that many people gathering for an event, it's just not the right time to do that.
I wonder how you're finding ways to fill the time when you'd normally be extremely busy. You mentioned that the association is doing a lot to acknowledge its sponsors right now, but is there anything that you're working on at the moment?
One of our board members has reached out to all of the mushers and some of our other long-term volunteers, board members, to send in video clips of what they are doing now. We're especially looking for our mushers to do that so that we can put together a montage and put it on the website in order to let everybody know we're still out here and this is what our competitors who usually come to these races are doing this year. We have quite a list of things that we're trying to accomplish during this year. We decided early on that in spite of having no event in February, we would take the opportunity to kind of reconnoiter, I guess, and get some of our documents in place. We certainly have a safety plan even under normal conditions. So all of those things need to be updated. We also operate what's called the UP200 Dryland Dash. Normally it's held in October in collaboration with the Wisconsin Trailblazers Sled Dog Group. We were not able to hold that in October, but we're already looking ahead toward when we might schedule that and hold the next Dryland Dash. So basically, we are looking at holding our Dryland Dash in 2021 and moving on into the 2022 snow races.
Can I ask, what are some of the clips that mushers have sent you so far? Was there anything interesting about what people are doing?
It's top secret.
Oh, come on.
Actually, April, the reason I said top secret is because I can't answer it. One of our board members is collecting it. Mushers have until the 7th of February to submit to her. And I have not seen any of it yet.
It's all good. Listen, I know that this must have just been a very hard decision to make in a year that was already challenging and full of sort of fear and tough conversations. What's been getting you through?
I think what's been getting us through is knowing that we are still all very interested in this event and looking forward to next year. And for me personally, it's I live in a rural area. Winter is still here. We don't have as much snow as what we would normally have. But I feel very fortunate that we are in an area where we can still enjoy the outdoors. As far as the sled dog board goes, we have enjoyed each other's companies. We've been meeting via Zoom, which is a little bit interesting for most of us, but we've been making it work, and keeping that connection has been very important to us. You know, we still recognize the value of this event, and we are excited to be looking forward to 2022. We still could use all the support we can get, and we need people to help us take on certain tasks. So if we have anybody out there in the listening area who would like to get involved, they can go to our website and send an email to the UP Sled Dog Association, and we will connect with them.
Darlene Walsh is president of the UP Sled Dog Association. Darlene, thank you for talking to us today.
Hey, thank you, April. I enjoyed it.